Good morning. Glad that you're here. Thank you. We had an awesome time yesterday, didn't we? Yes, we did. We had about 70, I think that was about the count, 70 people all at Vesper Hills yesterday. And we had a chili cook-off champion. Wayne took home the first place for the second year in the row. I'm telling you, he can cook, can he? And if his chili didn't win, it was his green beans that would have won. So if he weren't able to come out this year, make sure you come out next year because you got to try Wayne's chili. I mean, two times in a row, I think that's saying something. So we had a good time. Yeah, he should start a spoon wall. He should start a spoon wall. And Candace, she made the award-winning cornbread, right? She said that's what made the chili was her cornbread. So we're going to thank her for the cornbread. It was a great, great time. We made s'mores and fellowshipped with one another. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. And we thank the people that take care of Vesper Hills for us, for this church, and what God has given us. Amen? Amen. There's an insert in your bulletin for poinsettias. It's that time of year. If you would like to purchase a poinsettia for someone in honor of someone or even for yourself, fill out the form and turn it in. Okay, and don't forget our fancy QR code. If you're a visitor, if you need prayer requests, scan that QR code, and that will be sent directly to an email, and we'll make sure we pray for your prayer requests and also get to know you better. We love getting to know new people. We've certainly seen that, haven't we? In the last couple months, amen. Prayer requests, Dave and Peggy Moore. Dave is in the hospital, so we want to lift them up and pray for Dave Moore. Barry and Terry Priest, lift them up, yeah. Rachel? God is good, Rachel. All the time, Rachel. Tina. Keep Tina in your prayer. She's still healing from pneumonia, and continue to pray for her foot, that it continues to heal. Psalm 40, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry for help. He brought me up from the desolate pit, out of the muddy clay, and set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and they will trust in the Lord. Oh, happy is anyone who has put his trust in the Lord and has not turned to the proud or those who run after lies. Lord, my God, you have done many things. For your wondrous works and your plans for us, none can compare with you. If I were to report and speak of them, they are more than I could be told. Amen? More that could be told. How many of you feel that way this morning? If you were to speak of everything that the Lord has done in your life or in the lives of those that are around us here at Faith Church, we would be here forever, wouldn't we? Sometimes our mind can't even comprehend all the things that God does for us, fighting our battles for us day in and day out, bringing us out of that pit, out of that miry clay, and putting our feet on that firm foundation. Amen? Amen. God is good. And all the time, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, oh, what a glorious weekend we've had. We were able to just have so much time together out in the beauty of Vesper Hills, Lord, and just celebrating the gifts that you've given us and the gifts that other people, the service that they have for you and your kingdom, and taking care of the gifts that you've placed in our lives in this church, this faith church. And we just give you so much praise and honor, Lord, that our family of faith just keeps growing and growing and growing and building your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. You give us glimpses of what heaven is going to be like. And we just thank you for those glimpses and that promise that through your Son, Jesus Christ, we have a great inheritance, that we will be able to spend eternity with you and with one another. And we give you praise. And all the prayer requests that have been heard and spoken this morning, Lord Jesus, we just ask that you do what only you can do for each and every one, Lord. Where there needs healing, you are our great physician. You are the mighty healer. Where there needs to be comfort and deliverance, you are a God who delivers us out of these things. And you see us. You're a God who cares for your people. And we just ask even for those prayer requests that we keep hidden and we keep tucked in our heart, Lord. You're a God who hears, and you're a God who sees. And we lift those up to you as well. And this morning, as we lift up our praise and our worship to you, Lord, I pray that it is a sweet, sweet fragrance in your court, that you hear us and that we join those angels and all those saints as they praise and worship you as well, Father God. We thank you for the praise band as they continue to lead us in this time of worship and praise and sharing their gifts with us each and every Sunday. And be with Paul as he gives us this message this morning that you have given him. Pray that it is anointing, Lord. And we just set this time aside for you, specifically. All the things that we have to do, it is a busy time for everyone, Lord, but we just dedicate this time in praise and worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 What is praise, church? Praise is not quiet. Amen. Isn't he awesome? He is awesome. Our greeting, Psalm 106, verses 1 through 5. Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Who can list the glorious miracles of the Lord? Who can ever praise him enough? There is joy for those who deal justly with others and always do what is right. Remember me, Lord. When you show favor to your people, come near and rescue me. Let me share in the prosperity of your chosen ones. Let me rejoice in the joy of your people, and let me praise you with those who are your heritage. Amen. Amen and amen. Oh, Father God, we thank you so much that you gave us your Son, Jesus, who came to this earth, and he rose up out of that grave, and he ascended to heaven, and that he is not dead and buried. He is alive, and you've turned all authority over to him, and we worship and praise a living Christ. And as we bring these gifts and these tithes, these offerings to you, there is nothing that we can give back to you that you have not already given to us. You've blessed us with these gifts. And in honor, we give a portion back to you to continue the mission of Jesus Christ, to build the kingdom of earth on earth as it is in heaven. And we thank you so much that you give us that opportunity, that we join this mission with Christ to continue to spread the gospel, the good news that Jesus is alive and that he has forgiven us of our sins and he rose up out of that grave for redemption of lives here on earth. We ask that the Holy Spirit encourage us and give us that strength to continue that message. In Jesus' name, May these gifts multiply for your kingdom's work. Amen.
Amen.
All my kiddos. Oh, yeah, Jade, you thought you were getting away. Nice try. Where's Gunner? Where's Gavin? Is Kendall here? Let's sit down. All my kids. Look at that, church. I think there's a need. We're going to have fun. So, what time of year is it? Kids know. Yeah, trick or treat. What do you get? Football? It's also football, that's true. What's your goal during trick or treat?
Candy.
And do you like candy corn? Yeah, a lot of you like candy corn. There's some people, Chris Roberts, that doesn't like candy corn. But you know what? He's got a great wife, Tina, and she loves candy corn. I got her a big thing last week because she loves it so much. And I just wanted to tease Chris Roberts so he'd have to look at it. So here's the thing about candy corn. How many colors is it? It's three. Kendall, play along. It's three. Three colors, but it's still one candy. How did they do that? It's the same exact candy. It's just three different colors. It reminds me of something. Color dye, they could do it with color dye. But when we pray, the Bible says that we pray to the Father through Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ, when he went up to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit, and that all three are one. And what the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit's our helper. Jesus said he wasn't going to leave us alone. When he left, when he rose up out of that grave and he went back up to heaven to be with the Father God, he's like, I'm going to send you a helper that's going to encourage you, that's going to comfort you, and it's going to give you some truth, and it's the Holy Spirit. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's like a candy corn. All three colors, but they're the same piece of candy, right? So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to learn more about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we're going to eat some candy corn.
Yes.
We're going to have a party, church. We're going to have a party while you're up here partying with Paul, okay? All right, let's pray, kids. No, this is what we used to do every Sunday. I'm going to stand as a reminder to our church of what little church looks like, okay? We're going to take lessons. All right, so come, let's pray together. We're going to hold hands. Jesus loved kids. We love kids. Okay, now you're going to repeat after me, okay? Our Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for our family. And thank you for our church. We thank you that you sent your Son. And your Son, Jesus, sent us a helper, the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. And it's okay if you don't know it. You just repeat it after me, okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. Amen. All right, now, don't run out of here yet. You're going to follow me, and we're going to go downstairs, and we're going to have some fun times, okay? All right. This is my Bible. We're going to say it before we leave, okay? This is my Bible. It is the Word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen. Amen. All right.
Party. Wow. Maybe I should go? Well, we'll see what kind of party we can have up here. The front of your bulletin is kind of a party, isn't it? Kind of a party right there. So let us pray. God of all seasons, we thank you for autumn. We thank you for the touch of coolness in the air that gives us a new burst of energy. For the coloring of trees that shows the creativity of our divine artist. For the falling leaves that reveal the strength of the branches. For the hues of fields that bring peace to our souls. For the smiles on the pumpkins that bring joy to the children. For the fall harvest, which brings us gratitude for the bounty of our land. For this change of seasons that reveals the circle of life. God of all seasons, as you transform the earth, transform us by your Spirit. Allow us to focus on you now as we dive into your word and search for your wisdom this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we had a great time last night as we went and we partied and we ate chili and some of them went on hay rides and others played games in the yard. And then there was a fire and then some of us had s'mores. Some of them had s'mores. I tried to stay away from it because, you know, it's hard to stop them when you start them because you just want some more, right? Yeah, well, that's me. So I didn't start, so I didn't have to have some more. We'll have to figure out how we can get you some. How's that? Some s'mores later, okay? But you know what? Over the years, I've driven all kinds of places. I've driven a lot of distances to work. For 13 years, I drove from Newark to Columbus. And that was to the north end of Columbus when 161 wasn't all those four lanes and 75 mile an hour and all that. Well, 70 mile an hour, right? But that means I go 75. But anyways, just go a little bit, you know, and it takes a lot less time to get there now. And then for 19 years, I drove from Newark to Delaware, Ohio. Because I worked there and it would take me over an hour to get there and an hour to get home. And I had a lot of times to see things. But you know what? I was so busy that I didn't stop to look around and appreciate the scenery. Now, I'm not going to say I never did, because, you know, when bright colors come out in the fall, you can't help but look at them. But yet, my focus would usually pull away someplace else. But now, for the last 10 years as of, I think, the 14th of this month, I've been working at Genesis in Zanesville. And now I take time as I get older to look around and appreciate God's creation and beauty. I love to watch the seasons change colors around me. The fall season is one of my favorite times. I leave many times to go to work when it's still dark. I drive east toward Zanesville and watch God's light illuminate the dark. The sky changes colors as the light comes up. There's an orange band of light that comes across the bottom before you see that big ball of fire come through. As the light progresses, blue skies above are seen. On a cloudy day, storm clouds around, they fill the sky. But yet the light shines through pockets in those clouds, and it looks like a beam coming down out of heaven. Other days, when the clouds are white and fluffy, they appear like fluffy pillows contrasted against the blue sky. Sometimes they can look like snow-covered mountains in that sky. And when I get the opportunity after a long day of work, I love to go down by the boat ramp at Dillon and look across the water at the changing colors. Once again, colors seem more vibrant when they're down there by the water than they were up on the hill. And There's twice as many colors and twice as much of them. How's that happen? Why, you ask? It's because you not only see the colors of the trees on the hillside, but you see the reflection of those colors in the water. And it's twice as magnified. It's like somebody set a mirror down on that. And usually there's no ripples at night when it's calm. Until you can hear maybe a fish jumping or the birds singing in the air. God's creation given to us for us to appreciate. And I know during busy times we don't take the time to do that. But as I get older, I take time to appreciate God's beauty that surrounds us. And then I start for home, and I notice the beauty in the sky all over again as the sun begins to set. As the sun lowers in the sky, there are oftentimes multiple bands of color in that sky, especially when you're up on a higher hill and you're looking out over the horizon. You can see bands of orange as the sun drops out of sight, bands of purple, bands of mauve or pink, and blue that rise above the horizon because it's not quite dark yet. The color bands appear often like foliage or hills or mountain ranges in the sky. And then, even though it's not quite dark, the moon and stars appear in the sky. At first, they're dim, and then they brighten as the sun completely disappears and the darkness of night sets in. All the beauty of God's creation given for us to appreciate. And many times in the busyness of our days, we don't take that time. We all need to more often. Our first scripture today is from the Old Testament book of Psalms. Psalms 104, 1 through 9, and then I'm going to throw in 24 and 35 on top of that. It says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, Lord, my God. You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beam of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes clouds his chariots and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundation. It can never be moved. You cover it with watery depths, as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains, but as you rebuked the waters, fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains and went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross." Then on verse 24, "How many of your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creation." And then verse 35, "But may sinners vanish from the earth, and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord." Before I read the next scripture, which is from the book of Isaiah, I want to show you a little video. It was a YouTube video by the Bible Project. Its title is, "This Lie Can Keep From You Living Generously." Like this abstract cartoon for a couple of reasons. First, it describes very well how God of creation gave mankind this earth we live in. He gave us free will and rules to follow so that we could be his people. We failed miserably. Instead of worshiping him and following his generous example, he sent himself to the earth as a human form to suffer and to die for our sins. And then, included in that plan, sent the Holy Spirit to live inside us for all who believe. Again, the Bible Project. "This lie can I keep from you living generously."
Imagine your friend invites you to a party. You arrive and there's lots of people, decorations, food and drink. There's enough for everyone.
When you're hosted by someone that generous, you don't have to worry about your needs. You can just enjoy yourself and focus on the people around you.
Yeah, that's what a good host wants for her guests.
And this is the picture of the world that we find in the Bible. Creation is an expression of God's generous love. He's the host, and humans are his guests in a world of opportunity and abundance.
And we're called to keep the party going, to spread his goodness. This is a beautiful picture. But it's not the way people experience the world. Rather, we find a world of scarcity and struggle, not abundance.
And Jesus grew up in that kind of world. under military occupation, people losing their land or families to debt and poverty. And yet, he would say things like this. Look at the birds. They don't store up food for themselves, yet they have enough. Or consider the wildflowers. They're beautiful and abundant, and they don't stress about their existence. And you all should live that way, too.
But surely Jesus knew that things don't always work out. I mean, sometimes there really isn't enough.
And Jesus did experience poverty firsthand, but he viewed the world through the story of the Hebrew Scriptures, which claimed that our scarcity problem isn't caused by a lack of resources. Rather, the problem is our mindset that God can't be trusted.
Maybe God's holding out on me. Maybe there isn't enough, and maybe I need to take matters into my own hands.
And once we're deceived into that mindset of scarcity, we can justify the impulse to take care of me and mine before anyone else. And that leads to envy, anger, violence, and a world where it seems like there's not enough.
The party's over. It's turned into a battleground.
But God wants humans to experience his generosity, and so he chooses one people, the family of Abraham. And he promises to give them the abundance that he wants for everybody else. God will provide what they need. All they have to do is trust his generosity.
And through them, the whole world will see how generous the host really is.
But that's not what happens. Abraham's descendants, the Israelites, enter a land of abundance, and they promptly forget the host who gave it to them. They act like it's all theirs, and like there's not enough. And it leads to war and Israel's self-destruction.
If I were the host of this party, I think I'd just give up.
But God doesn't give up. What he does is surprising. He gives another gift.
Another gift?
Yeah, but this gift is different. What God gives is himself.
All right, and Jesus, the host himself, comes to join in on the spoiled party.
And notice, Jesus lives with the conviction that there is enough, and that our generous host can be trusted. His mindset of abundance allowed him to live sacrificially and generously, even towards his enemies.
And Jesus called his followers to trust in God's abundance like him.
And that's why he said things like, sell your possessions and give to the poor, or don't worry about your life. He's inviting us to live by a different story, one that is built on trust in God's goodness and love.
But living generously doesn't mean life is gonna go well. I mean, look at Jesus. He was betrayed by his friends, and he suffered.
And this was no surprise to Jesus. He knew that people would take advantage of his generosity. In fact, that was his plan.
Really?
Yeah, think about it. Jesus knows that we're all hopelessly deceived by this lie that there's not enough.
Yeah, that lie needs to be defeated.
And so that's what Jesus was doing when he gave us the gift of his life. Jesus' death was the ultimate expression of God's generous love.
Yeah, God's love can turn death into life, and scarcity back into abundance.
Or as the Apostle Paul put it, you know the gift of our Lord Jesus the Messiah, that even though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich.
And Jesus called his followers to live like the real party has begun.
Yes, he called it the kingdom of God. And our invitation to this party is yet another gift, the personal presence of God's own Spirit, that can teach us how to trust the generosity of the host, just like Jesus did.
Yeah, and when you believe there's enough, you start seeing opportunities for generosity everywhere, with our time and money, our attention.
Yes, one of the most important ways that we can experience the abundance of God's new creation is sharing with others because of our trust that God is the generous host.
Well, yes.
Isaiah goes on with the story. After God gave us all these things on this earth, he gave his son. And Isaiah, the prophet, projects that. Surely he took our pain and bore our sufferings, yet we can consider him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears in silence. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered by the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now from the New Testament, the book of Mark. This continues the story from the video where his disciples don't understand how we as Christians need to be servants of God and to bring others to him. For even the Son of God did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark 10, 35 through 45 says, Then James and John, sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do this whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, Let one of us sit on your right and the other on your left in glory. You don't understand what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, You will drink the cup I will drink and baptize with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right or the left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord over them all, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And then we go on with Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Every high priest is selected from among the people and is anointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer sacrifices and gifts for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. And no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, You are my son. Today I become your father. And he says in another place, You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son, though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. You know, loneliness strikes almost everyone at one point or another. We can be popular and still be miserable, miserably lonesome, feeling as if no one truly loves or understands us. The danger during such times is that we'll seek comfort in things or people God never meant us to be around, or that we'll turn so far inward that we sink deeper into despair. But understand that God has given us His Holy Spirit to answer the profound need in our innermost parts. The Spirit is the Lord's permanent presence in our lives, our guarantee of His intimate friendship and ever-present help. No matter what our trials, the Helper is available to strengthen, encourage, and enable us. You are never let alone without hope. So if you're feeling alone today, realize that He understands the pain you feel over crushed dreams and disappointments you're facing because of others' broken promises. But the Holy Spirit doesn't stop there. He also heals your wounds and binds up your broken heart. So look to the friendship, help, and comfort of God's Holy Spirit. He is your best friend, the one who will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus, we thank you for always being with us through your Holy Spirit. So where am I going with this? God, our Creator, has given us beauty all around us. We need to stop, look, and take time to smell the roses. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us to help us, strengthen, encourage, and enable us. And finally, Jesus endured all our pain and suffering and died on the cross to take away our sins, the sins of our past, the sins of the present, and the future as well, as the sins of the entire world. Talks about being generous. Talks about giving everything, as Jesus did. There are people out there that are hungry that need food. There are people out there that are lonely that just need somebody by their side. We need to be that person. Ray Bowles wrote a song that reminds us of just that. I'd like to sing it to end my sermon today. It's called What If I Give All?
Dime can feed a hungry boy or girl with nothing to eat. So he pulled a dollar from the pocket of his jeans. He asked his mama how many would this feed. She just smiled, and when she told him 10, he reached back in again. Change the world, it could feed the multitude. He didn't close his eyes or turn away. I can see him standing tall. He saw the need, and I can hear him say, what if I? $3 could have bought a special toy, but he reminds us of another boy. He gave to Jesus a gift of fish and bread. I wondered if he said, what if I give all I have? What will that gift do? My child, a gift like that could change the world. It could feed a multitude. He didn't close his eyes or turn away. I can see him standing tall. He saw the need, and I can hear him say, what if I give all? And long ago, a father and his son saw the children lost in sin. Can you see the tears in father's eyes as Jesus said to him, what if I give all I have? What will that gift do? My child, a gift like that could change the world.
it would free the multitude. What if I give all I have? What will that gift do? My child, a gift like that can change the world. It could feed a multitude. We cannot close our eyes or turn away when we hear the Spirit call. We saw the need, now let him hear us say, what if I give all? What if I give all? We're given many opportunities in this world to give of ourselves. Maybe it's our time. Maybe it's our money. Maybe it's giving up something that we saved up for but don't really need. But then you see a need out there for someone else, and you take it out of your pocket and you give it to them, or you go buy it for them so they have something to show for it. We, most of us here, are blessed in so many ways. And when we're blessed, we need to be a blessing for somebody else. It's not all about us. It's not all about what the world has or what the world didn't do for you or anything else. It's what can we do for somebody else? So what if I gave all? Because there's somebody out there that needs it. Amen? And sometimes that's just our love and showing our love to them. We have a great congregation here, and we need to walk out of this church today and do just that. Show our love to others, because God showed us that love first. In the creation, giving his son, and allowing us to have the Holy Spirit inside our hearts. Amen? Have a blessed day.